Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live at Hermitage Golf Course today. Stanley Cup Final continuing tomorrow with Game 6. Back to Edmonton, the series goes. Florida at Edmonton. We say hello now to ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, who joins us. Are you already in Edmonton, Greg?
You're darn right I am. There's no way I'm risking not getting here because I decided to, you know, spend an extra day at the beach. So we went Detroit to Calgary to Edmonton yesterday, a three-plane two-stopper, and ate some terrible airport food in Detroit. And now I am staying in Edmonton at a hotel that is directly next to a train track, which is either extraordinarily soothing for some, me, I don't mind it, or the kind of thing where, say, like my wife would demand we leave the moment we get here. So it's one of the two.
Well, I have good news. No matter what happens, this is the last, I mean, besides going back to wherever you're going to be going back to, this is the last time you have to worry about going to Edmonton. So at least there's that for this year. Because no matter what, it's going back to Florida. This series has turned out to be fun, man. It's Connor McDavid, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he needed to be down 3-0, but he has been unlocked, as they say.
Well, first of all, I find it charming that you don't think that there's a way Connor could create a game 8 this year, like he's done everything else. we could come back to Edmonton for game 8 if Connor deems it so. Dude, I'll pat myself on the back for being way ahead of the curve on the idea that McDavid was going to win the Conn Smythe win or lose. I was saying it before game 5. I think when you sit down and see the sum total of his accomplishments, you know, the all-time record for assists in a postseason, breaking a Gretzky record. He's now, I think, fifth all-time in points in a postseason. He's shattered records in the final with his back-to-back four-point games. He's accounted for over 50% of his team's goals. He's got a point on over 50% of the Oilers' goals. Only other guy to do that, I think, was Gretzky in 87, I want to say. So, like, what we're seeing is one of the best postseason runs by an individual athlete in sports history. If not in sports history, then at least in the last 30 years. And so he's going to be the MVP win or lose now, I think. And what we're watching is a guy willing his team to continue a series that by all accounts they should have been done with in four. I mean, based on the history of this thing, I think it was like 20 out of 28 was a sweep. But Connor said no and dragged him back to Alberta, as he says.
Yeah. And I mean, like the thing is, obviously he had 8 points in two games. He's the one that's, you know, making a huge impact, but it's making everybody around him better. I mean, he is the true leader, the guy that you want him to be. And he's backing it up with his play, too. And so that's what's been fun to watch is it's not just him. I mean, like, even Skinner in goal. And like, we know that Bob's the better goaltender in this matchup. But you're just seeing this willingness that starts with him, and then it trickles down to the rest of the team.
So I'll put this out here. I think Skinner's the better goaltender from games 4-7 in any series. Like, that's the real amazing thing about Skinner, and the most amazing thing about the Oilers is that they've gotten better as series have gone on. I think the win in game 5 here in the final made them, I think it's like 10-1 or 9-1 in the playoffs in games 4-7 in a series, and Skinner's undefeated in games that happen after game 3. Like, I don't know what it is about this team where it takes them a little bit to find their footing or to feel their backs against the wall or whatever it is. But you know, if you wanted to say, I kind of knew they'd rally in the series, that's the stat you point to. It's that in every series, once they get past game 3, they just become a juggernaut. And Skinner's a big reason for it.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN NHL senior writer at the Stanley Cup Final.
All right, Greg, I'm big on body language. I've always been big on body language, and so it's a two-part question here. Right now, what's the body language of the Florida Panthers?
Well, you know, they're throwing water bottles in the GM box. They're very upset about having to go all the way back to Edmonton. Here's the thing about the Panthers, and I don't want to like jump the queue here and make a prediction, but we might as well. Like, I've covered this team for 2 years, and I've come to understand their psychology a little bit, and they're not good as the favorite. They're just not. Like, they fancy themselves scrappy underdog that everybody's counting out, and then, you know, once that happens, they start to prove everybody wrong. It's the thing that got them that win over Boston last year. It's the thing that they felt in the Rangers series, where everybody kind of thought the Rangers would play for the cup this year. And so being up 3-0 in a series is not where they want to be, if I'm being honest. Like, yeah. It's not who they are. Now this is who they are. Like, they're going to game 6 with everybody assuming it's going to be a game 7, with everybody assuming that Connor's going to be unstoppable again, with everybody assuming that there's going to be this giant party in Edmonton and they're going to get their doors blown off again. And I got to tell you, that's kind of where the Panthers want to be. So if you're looking for a notion or a reason why, despite the momentum being completely on the Edmonton side, that you might be kind of looking at the Panthers to close this thing out, it's that once you count them out, that's when they win. And trust me when I tell you that a lot of people are counting them out right now.
All right, let's flip it over to the Edmonton Oilers. What's their body language as they return home for game 6?
Well, it's supremely confident, and you know, the thing I have to admit is that whether it's their coach Chris Knobloch or Connor or whoever, you know, the notion that they had been outplaying the Panthers in the first 3 or 4 games in the series, when they say it out loud, it seems dumb because they're down 3-1, right? But, like, when you look inside the numbers and, you know, look at Bob stealing game 1 and some of the other stuff, they were kind of right. And they were also right that as series go on, especially in the Western Conference final against Dallas, their power play gets better. So all this panic we had about, my God, what's wrong with this all-world power play that was clicking at 37% before the final, not being able to do anything in the first, like, 3 games of the series – they were like, you know, patience, young Padawan. Like, we're going to figure this thing out. And then they did. And then the power play was a huge reason they won game 5. So maybe I think the body language is confidence, and maybe we should, like, have listened to them a little bit closer because they sort of told us this was all going to happen.
What do you think the atmosphere will be like for this game 6 in Edmonton?
It's going to be insane. First of all, that arena in games – especially in game 4, was one of the loudest places I've ever heard. I mean, it was deafening in there. It was incredible in there. It was, you know, the thing about the Oilers that I've come to really love as far as a fan base goes, and it is one of these, it does feel like an American college sports town where we're nice. Literally the Oilers are the only thing going on. You know what I mean? Like the whole town is watching the Oilers because otherwise you're at the Holiday Inn next to the train tracks. But the other thing I love about it too is, like, I've never seen an NHL city where more people wear a jersey to the game, which I love. And the people that don't wear a jersey, they're coming in costume. Like, there was a stormtrooper. There were people in overalls pretending to be working in oil field. There were 4 guys that dressed up like rat exterminators for the Florida Panthers game. Like, it's kind of like a combination of the coolest hockey fan base you could find as far as their enthusiasm, and then also like San Diego Comic-Con. Like, it's just people cosplaying as things. I'm really blown away. I had no idea that this is what the Oilers fan base was, but it is what they are, and they're going to be out of their minds on Friday.
ESPN's Greg Wyshynski is with us. All right, shifting gears from the Cup final for a minute. Trade day was yesterday. I mean, there were a few big trades, including Markstrom going to the Devils. So Tom Fitzgerald has his goaltender now, making a deal with the Flames. What did you make of that move? And also some of the other trades, seeing Dubois go to the Capitals for Darcy Kemper.
Yeah, so I like the cost of acquisition for the Devils in that one. And they might have lucked out because Markstrom had full trade protection. It's possible the Devils were on a very short list of teams to whom he would accept the trade. And so you got to get what you get out of a deal if you're Calgary. And I think they did okay. I think Kevin Ball has some upside if he can ever locate some snarl and some physicality in his game. And then getting a first obviously is great, even though it's lottery protected 2 years from now. Those are 2 things the Devils will gladly give up. I think they can find a replacement for Ball in free agency with someone like Nikita Zadorov, for example, from the Canucks, if they could swing that. But at the end of the day, like a team that was completely subverted by its goaltending last season, where every time they did something positive, you know, the puck would end up in the back of their net 3 minutes later, now has Jacob Markstrom and Jake Allen. And, you know, the 2 Jakes are going to be a formidable battery for them and the thing that they're going to build everything on. And oh, by the way, the team in front of them is pretty good. And oh, by the way, their new head coach, Sheldon Keith, has a defensive system acumen that I think is going to benefit these goalies. The Dubois thing is just, God, that trade broke when I was at the airport and I wrote the story. I was drinking a Bell's over on and eating a bad pizza, and I couldn't have been happier because I love a trade that's like logical and also illogical. The Capitals acquiring Dubois is illogical. Like he is a guy that is now on his fourth stop in the NHL. At each place, he's worn out his welcome. He was a bust of the highest degree in Los Angeles, and now they're bringing him on a team that is kind of sort of flirting with rebuilding. You know, as the Ovechkin contract runs out, and as he gets the Gretzky record, like it's a weird place to want to have Pierre-Luc Dubois on your roster. And then for the Kings, like, I mean, what percent do we blame Rob Blake now for the Dubois debacle? Because at the end of the day, yeah, he made a horrible trade now, signed him to a horrible contract, but in the end, like, used him to address the most pressing need on the team, which is their goaltending. And Darcy Kemper, I think, could be fine for them. I think he's actually better than fine for them with him being reunited with their goalie coach, Bill Ranford. So I give Blake credit for getting out of a pickle, but at the end of the day, like, that contract and that trade are going to be a black mark on that guy's record in perpetuity.
Yeah, for sure. Greg, enjoy lovely Edmonton and the train tracks. You know, maybe you can get lost in your thoughts watching the trains go by. I mean, that happens sometimes, but we'll see if you're going back to Florida for a game 7.
I don't even know which way the trains are going. I don't know if I, like, hop on. It'll take me to Calgary, or if it'll take me to, like, Duluth. I don't know where it's going, but I just know it's here. And it was your last night at 3 a.m. too.
Well, that's a good – you got a country song there, Greg. Put it together for in honor of Gordon Lightfoot.
Hey, Canadians love their country. Okay?
You know, that's a very specific Canadian reference, and I appreciate
right.
it.
You're welcome.
Together. Enjoy it, Greg. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
See ya. Greg Wyshynski. Joining us here every Thursday at 9:30. I love him. He's
so that's just like Fort Lauderdale or Miami to Minneapolis and Edmonton.
Yeah,
and
I mean, like, because the thing is, and I was looking at this for Vancouver, is just there's not a lot of direct flights.
Right.
So it's just you kind of got to go, you know, over here and then over there.
Right.
I always laugh with you know, flights. Like, for instance, where was that going? There, Darren and I were going somewhere.
Rayon City?
Yeah, we're going to Rayon City. We were going somewhere for traveling, and it was like we had to go to we were going over here.
Yeah.
Basically, and we went Dallas to like back up this way, and then, you know, it was just like some of the flights don't make sense sometimes, but Stanley Cup Final game number 6 tomorrow. We'll have coverage for you starting at 6:30 here on 102.5 106.3 The Game.